everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
Welcome to Chase Oaks. We are so glad that you decided to be in church this weekend. And before we jump into this weekend's message, I have a little surprise for you. I have a book coming out called How to Work with Complicated People, Strategies for Effective Collaboration with Nearly Anyone. And me and my wife and book team were talking about it. And I said, you know, I have been teaching at Chase Oaks for almost 10 years. And so these are some of my favorite people in the whole world. And so I said, hey, let's just get crazy. And you can get crazy when you own your own business. And so we have decided to give each and every one of you a book for free. So all you have to do is scan this QR code and submit your info, and my book team will send a book to your house. Here are the rules. Do not be passing this QR code on to your cousin. This is not a Netflix password situation, okay? You are getting this QR code because you decided to come to church this weekend. So if you have other friends that go to this church, you say you do not want to miss church this weekend because, I mean, I guess you could just watch online and you still get the QR code, but that QR code will stop working after April 5th. So if you're watching this on like April 11th, you ain't getting nothing. So, but for those of you who are in the room and those of you that are watching online, it is our gift to you. This is a place that has been so good to me, and so me and my wife just totally believe in giving back. So all you do is scan the QR code, and then there's a form at the bottom, and we will send a book to your house. Around April 15th is when the book is launched. One of the reasons that we're also doing this is because I remember as a kid, my dad was a pastor, and he would go to these annual pastor conferences, and I'll never forget, I was 7 years old, and I went to the bathroom, and I found a Louis Vuitton wallet, and it had $400 cash in it, all 20s. Now, in the 90s, $400 cash to a seven-year-old was like a down payment on a house. It was like, this is crazy, you know what I mean? And I was like, I have hit the jackpot. And this wallet had no ID, so I'm like, this is as good as mine. I don't know who dropped it, but I was a Christian then, and so I said, hey, Mom, Dad, I found $400. And they said, hey, well, will you take it to the front, to the bishop, and he'll announce that, you know, somebody lost this Louis Vuitton wallet with $400. And sure enough, a guy stood up and says, oh, thank you so much. And he walks up to the front. I'm not going to lie. I kind of stood there like I lingered a little bit for a little finder's fee. You know what I mean? It's like you're thinking 20 bucks. Of course, he's going to give a kid 20 bucks for finding his $400. And I can see it's all 20s. And he just says, thanks, kid, and walks away. And I just thought, really? Like, come on, man. Like, you're a pastor, man. Like, you should be the most generous person here. And from that day forward, you'd be surprised. I just said, you know what? I want to be the most generous person in the world. I just decided, like, sometimes you see what you want to be, sometimes you see what you don't want to be. And that was a mile marker for me. And so you guys have been such a blessing to me. I want to be a blessing to you. If it's your first time in church, I don't know what they told you about your church. Maybe a friend brought you here and you had no idea this was going to happen. But nevertheless, I want you to know you are sitting next to some very, very generous people. At Chase Oaks, we're all about how we can make an impact in the community. And maybe you've been told that I don't know, people at church, all they want is your money, or I don't know what you've been told. I just want to let you know, you're in a place that's a little bit different, and today it is my honor to give you something. Now, we're going to continue the series, The Ugly Beautiful. It's on this idea of the book of Ecclesiastes, book in the Bible, written by a guy named Solomon. Solomon, in today's society, modern economics, would be considered a trillionaire. It's with a T. If you combined Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Mark Zuckerberg's net worth, they would be poor. according to Solomon, okay? Like he had it going on. He had his own navy. He could afford literally everything money can buy. He had all of the experiences. He had more wives than he knew what to do with. That's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. And what we get in Ecclesiastes is what I consider to be a trillionaire's journal. You know, if you're thinking about it, if a trillionaire is kind of writing his own memoir, you would think his book would be titled, you know, 10 Ways to Get Wealthy Like Me or something like that. But what we get in Ecclesiastes is the ugly beautiful. We're getting somebody's perspective that says, I've seen it all, I've experienced it all, I got a lot of wisdom. And what I've learned is that, well, sometimes life is beautiful and sometimes life is a little ugly. There's times where you get a job promotion, but with that promotion often comes more work. You have a beautiful child and you're like, I have this beautiful baby, and then you don't sleep for 5 years. There is the beautiful baby and the ugly side of non-sleep. I didn't call anybody's baby ugly, so do not try and twist my words this weekend. You think about sometimes you maybe get to an age where you retire and you go, man, I worked really hard to get to this moment. But isn't it interesting that a couple weeks into retirement, you can start to feel purposeless? Man, what am I gonna do? This can be the ugly beautiful. You can find love when you're single for a long time and all of a sudden you find the one, you're like, man, this is great. And then you find out that marriage is work, and didn't nobody tell you that before? I've told you that many times, but you weren't listening. And so here you are. But you're going, man, there is the ugly and the beautiful. And a lot of times you don't get to separate the two. One of the things that we see in Ecclesiastes, specifically chapter 3, he says this. He says, for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And then he lists all of the things of saying, hey, there is a season for war. There's a season for peace. Seasons come and seasons go. And so this weekend, I want to take us through three things that I think can help us know what to do with the ugly and beautiful seasons that you and I experience throughout our lives. So number one, I want to encourage us to measure the seasons. I want to encourage us to measure the seasons. And I don't know what season you're on in your life right now, but I just encourage you to count the days, to number the days, to truly measure the season. I love what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2. He says that there is a time to be born and a time to die. We all got two dates that are for sure on our calendar, the day we were born and the day that we will die. And guess what? There is a dash in between, and you get to control what you do with the dash. So I have to ask you this weekend, what are you doing with your dash? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with this season? I did some studying on how people spend their time on the planet, and it's interesting. Do you know how much time you will spend sleeping on this planet? Sleeping. We will actually spend 26 years of our life sleeping. Now, this is the average person gets 79 years. If you're over 79, you are out punching your coverage. That's amazing. But on average, we're looking at 79, all right? And of those 79 years, 26 of those years, you're going to be knocked out, okay? So we're already down, what, four? We're already at like 40-something years that we've got left. Did you know when it comes to working, for those of us that like employment, did you know you're going to spend 13 and a half years of your life at your job? Some of you just got depressed immediately. You're like, no, that cannot be true, but it is true. Like that's the average. Watching TV, I'm willing to bet that this number has increased over the years, but nevertheless, statistics show that we will spend about 9 years of our life watching TV. Some of us are already at like 18 and we're only 25, but that's crazy. Eating, some of us eat fast, but you know, you're gonna spend 4.5 years of your life eating. Do you know, you wanna know how long it's gonna take you to fall asleep? You're gonna spend a year of your life just falling asleep. A year of your life just tossing and turning, getting the pillow right, you know, punching your spouse, all that stuff. Like, you're gonna spend a year of your life doing that. You wanna know how long you're gonna spend in your life brushing your teeth? 79 days. Now, some of us might need to up that a little bit. I don't know. I'm not saying anything about your neighbor who's sitting next to you, but it is what it is. Here's what I wanted you to know. You are going to spend the next 5 years of your life doing something. 5 years from now, you'll be richer or poorer. 5 years from now, your marriage will be more connected or more distant. Your relationships will be surface level, or they will have deeper connections. Your career will advance, or perhaps you would have gone backwards. You will be in more shape or more out of shape. Here's what happens. 5 years from now, the outcome of 5 years from now is not determined by luck, talent, or wishful thinking. It is determined by how you spend your time. So what are you going to do with the next 5 years of your life? Did you know you get to decide what you do with your time? We are all given 24 hours in a day, and sometimes what happens is we absolutely waste time. Some of us could spend the next 5 years of our life scrolling. Some of us could spend the next 5 years of our life reading. Some of us could spend the next 5 years of our life just talking about the weather and sport. Some of us could spend the next 5 years of our life in a small group talking about our faith and how we can grow and having some very, very intentional conversations. The next 5 years of your life, you could grow in your relationship with your kids. You could have a home that they have to come back to, or you could have a home that they get to come back to. If you're a parent, did you know you get 936 Saturdays with your kid from ages 0 to 18? 936. According to the math that I recently did, I have 634 Saturdays left with my youngest. He's 5. I have 403 Saturdays left with my oldest before he turns 18. And maybe he stays home, or maybe he gets out of our house as fast as he possibly can. Who knows? But I will tell you this. We are counting. And when I say we're counting, we're not just counting the number of Saturdays. We're not just counting our days. We're trying to make the days count. And what I don't want for any of us, whether we find ourselves in an ugly season or a beautiful season, is to waste time. I don't know what kind of season you find yourself in, but do not let time just pass you by. No, I think you and I have an opportunity to invite God to this current season to say, Lord, I don't want to waste a season, the ugly ones or the beautiful ones. And so this weekend, I'm going to give us what I call a dinner table or small group question. You could talk about this as a family. You could talk about this in a small group. And here's the question, the first question that I want you all to be able to answer. Hey, everybody go around and just simply answer this question. What do you wish you had more time for? What do you wish you had more time for? You start thinking intentionally about your calendar. What do you wish that you had more time for? And I have to wonder what it would look like for us to strategically work together to say, hey, I wonder if there's something I could take off your plate so that we could actually make time for that. My friends and I, my tight-knit group of friends that I would consider my closest friends, ironically, we are all, the four of us, 1 year apart. And so one of my best friends, he turns 40 this year. I turn 40 next year. Our next friend turns 40 the year after that, and our other friend turns 40 the years after that. And so we decided that we were going to do 4 years of 40. And we're going to do a celebration around the world, and each person, when it's their birthday, gets to decide where we go, and we're going to take 4 days and just be intentional with one another. Why do we do that? Why? Because we're counting. We're not just counting. We're trying to make the seasons count and make them very intentional trips. And here's what we all had to do. We all had to take proposals to our wives to say, hey, here's what we're thinking for the next 4 years. How do you feel about this? And they all said, game on. We're actually making time for the thing that we think is intentional to have deeper relationships that don't just talk about sports and the weather. And so I just have to wonder for you what you need to do in this season to say, man, I actually want to make some more time to actually perhaps get away or perhaps lean in. The second thing that I think you and I have to do when it comes to our ugly and beautiful seasons is number two, navigate the seasons. Navigate the seasons, especially when it's an ugly one. I've learned that those ugly seasons are much harder to navigate than the beautiful ones. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 says that there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I don't know if you're in a weeping season, a laughing season, a mourning season, or a TikTok dancing season. But I have to wonder what it would look like for you to be a person that truly pauses long enough to go, Lord, am I navigating this season as best as I possibly can? I want to take a moment to simply recognize some people who are perhaps going through one of those ugly seasons. To the parent that is perhaps running on fumes and nobody sees. Perhaps you're a young adult here today and you're battling anxiety. And maybe you suffer from panic attacks in silence. I just admire those people who have to scrape themselves out of bed just to appear normal to everybody else. And what nobody sees behind the scenes is the amount of work that it requires for you to just show up to work, to just show up to school, to just show up for your family and simply look like you have some resemblance of a normal life at all. I just want to say to you this weekend in this particular season, thank you for not giving up. Because sometimes you wear some thankless hats and you feel like you're not seen. And I just want you to know this weekend that God sees you right where you are. And perhaps you will look back on this particular season of your life and realize that God never left you and that you are absolutely never, ever alone. I love that Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5 says that there is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to turn away, a time to search, and a time to quit searching, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. I don't know who that last verse was for. If there's some hoarders here today, and it's just like, now's the time, all right? We got to let it go. But nevertheless, there are different seasons that we have to be able to navigate in. I think our ability to navigate these seasons begins by recognizing the season that we're in. You know what? It's really hard to be in a mourning season when you're married to somebody that's in a dancing season. To be best friends with somebody who's in a laughing season when you're in a weeping season. But I just have to wonder if this weekend you're not able to be able to put your finger on the pulse of the season that you are actually in. I have to wonder if some of us are in a planting season. Where, yeah, it's a giving season. And some of us are like, no, I actually need somebody to pour into me. I have to wonder if it's a season where you need to make some new friends. I wonder if it's a season where you need to invest in the relationships you already have. And is it a season to save? I know a lot of people who are saving for a rainy day. I'm like, you're 75. I think it rained already. You might want to start spending some of that money. You know, like, that's just my thought. I don't know. It's like, what are you saving for? I don't know what's going on. It's like, yeah, we're going to build our dream home at 84. I'm like, You already outpaced your average number of life, so I don't even know. Now's the time. You should have did that 20 years ago. And so some people, it's time to spend. Some people, it's just like, no, you are spending too much. You are the opposite direction. There is no one-size-fits-all for the season. But there is a God that we invite to every single season. So I just have to wonder for you, do you recognize the season that you're in? Because you can't navigate something that you refuse to absolutely recognize. So what would it look like for you to go, man, I'm actually in one of those seasons where I need help. I'm in one of those seasons where I've actually got some margin to give some help. Do you know what season you're in. It's one thing to navigate our own seasons. It's another thing to navigate other people's seasons. Because one of the tests of any great relationship is when your season changes and theirs doesn't. And they could just be like, okay, you got married and I'm still single, so do we still hang out, or do you just only hang out with other married people? And then it's just like, okay, my kid's 4, but your kid's 12, and so until you have another baby, we can't really hang out. Like, seasons change, and sometimes we don't often navigate other people's seasons well. It's also really hard to navigate our kid's season because we haven't been a kid in a very, very long time, and so trying to figure out their world can be very, very challenging. There is a curriculum called It's Just a Phase, and it breaks down the different questions that kids ask according to their age to help you understand their phase. And so phase one, which is the early years, 0 to 5, they're asking the question, am I safe? Am I safe? My son's, who is 5 years old, he's very much like, am I safe? He got a toy today from McDonald's, you know, with his Happy Meal, and he put it back in the back room here at the church, and he put it on the table, and I said, hey, just leave it here, and you can get it after church. And he goes, well, what if somebody steals it? Who's coming to steal your McDonald's toy here at the church, okay? I don't know who's going to do that. But again, he has this, are you going to leave me? Like, he's asking that question. Another question that they ask at a very early age is am I loved? Another question that I know a lot of parents feel is do I have your attention? Mom, dad. Sometimes I think you have called on me more in this day than I called on my parents in my entire lifetime, okay? I do not remember calling on my parents this much, but nevertheless, you have our attention. Phase two is the elementary years, ages 6 through 11. Now they're beginning to ask some different questions, like, do I have what it takes? Who are my friends? When your kid hits that friend stage and his friends are more important to him than you, I'm not speaking of me own personally, okay? This is not a therapy session, okay? I'm just speaking in generalities. It gets interesting. They're starting to figure out their way around the world. Phase three is middle school years. Now they're asking questions like, who am I? And again, it gets real with, who are my friends? Who are my real friends? Phase four is the high school years. This is where it gets really fun. Now they're asking bigger questions. What's my purpose? What do I believe? And TikTok can shape their entire theology in some way, shape, or form. My favorite phase is phase five. We call it adulting. Oh, the adulting phase is fun. Because now they start asking this question. It costs how much now? Wait, what? What? I didn't know. Wait, what? Like, wait, insurance? What do you mean? I have to get insurance? Yeah, you got to get insurance. Yeah. We're splitting this 50-50. Yeah. 50-50. You got to pay for it. A babysitter costs, this is how much you've been paying your whole, yeah, that's how much I paid for 20 years. So you can sit there and play with toys with this random person. You know what I mean? So it's like yes, this is how much, this is how much a car costs. Yeah, that's how much a car costs. Wait, you mean I got to pay $2,000 a month for this one bedroom apartment where I can stay with you for free? It's like, no, you can't stay with me for free. You got to go pay that too, my brother. It's like, it costs how much? It's like, yeah, we call this adulting. Hey, dad, my light bill is up. Oh, your light bill is up. Oh, you don't like it now, huh? You like to leave my lights on all night long, but now that it's your bill and it costs you something, you're going to learn today. And so, yes, it's called adulting. And I have to wonder, as you saw those questions, how many of us never grow up? Because we're still asking the same questions. Some of us in our 40s and 50s and 60s are asking the question, am I loved? Sometimes we look at our kids and go, do I have your attention? Because I haven't heard from you in a very, very long time. Isn't it interesting? You can move to a brand new city and go, do I have any friends? Here's something I encourage you to do, especially when you're navigating other people's season. Begin to ask them, what question are they asking in that season? And check in with your friends regularly, because you don't want to make the mistake of giving the people you love what they used to need. Because we all change and we all have different seasons. One of the things I love about my wife is that she has navigated my seasons very well. And she consistently checks in with me about, hey, what do you need during this particular season? Sometimes for us, it's a very busy season. Sometimes it's a sports heavy season. Sometimes it's a summer season or a spring break season, or sometimes it's a renovation season, which I don't know how my house keeps getting renovated. We built the house, so I'm just like, how are we renovating something that's brand new? It doesn't make any sense to me, but nevertheless, it's the season, and it's HGTV is always at our house filming, except it's just me with a camera phone. So nevertheless, it's a season. And so it is a consistent check-in to say, hey, do you need me near? Or sometimes it's actually, you need some space. I can give you space. You need me to get the kids out the house? You want us just to disappear for like 12 hours? Hey, I can figure that out. All right, Chuck E. Cheese, here we come. And so on some level, you're just checking in with one another to go, hey, what do you need in this particular season? Sometimes you have a friend that absolutely needs your advice. And then other times, that same friend no longer needs your advice. They just need your presence. Sometimes they just need a check-in. Well, I think sometimes we go, I'm just gonna be me and you just gotta deal with it. No, I'm gonna be an intentional friend and be able to actually ask you like, hey, what do you need in this season? And so the dinner table small group question that I want you to consider, which is the second one, is being able to ask a circle. What do you think you need from us in this season? Being able to ask the question. They may not even have an answer in that moment, but you even asking the question, I believe, is going to deepen your relationships. The last thing that I think we have to do with ugly and beautiful seasons is maximize the seasons. Maximize the seasons. You only got one, and it's the season that's in front of you. Sometimes we think, well, I'll give my best to the next season, a better season, a healthier season. No, I'm going to encourage you to be one of those people that gives your absolute best to the season God has given you right now. I love what Ecclesiastes 3:11 says. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. So while we may not always be able to see it in the moment, I believe that God has designed this season on purpose for where you are right now. This means that every season has something beautiful in it. I realize that some of us are in a hard season. I realize that some of us are in an unfair season. Some of us are in a painful season. But I promise you, if you look closely enough, if you double click on it, if you zoom in just a little bit, what you will find is something beautiful in that season. I love what 1 Corinthians 7 verse 17 says. It says, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation, this is an interesting word, the Lord has assigned to them just as God has called them. Assigned. Here's what I've learned is that there's a difference between a situation and an assignment. Some of us are going, man, I'm just in a really, really tough situation. No, but what if I told you are in actually a tough assignment? I get that it might be a tough season, but what would you do if I told you that God assigned you with that particular season? What would you do if I told you God can trust you with that season? God can trust you with that assignment. You go, oh man, it's a tough job. Is it a tough job or is it a tough assignment? You might have a difficult relationship right now that you're trying to navigate. Is it a difficult relationship or is it a difficult assignment? You might be parenting through a hard season. I would say it's an assignment. God trusted you with those kids, as crazy as they might be. I don't think that God waste any season. And I don't think we should either. I think you and I should be the kinds of people that truly maximize the season that we're in. If you're single here today, maximize the season. If you're married today, maximize the season. If your kids are at home, maximize the season. If you're an empty nester, maximize the season. Sometimes we can think about the glory days, the good old days. Oh, I remember that old season. That was a good time. No, what would you do if I told you that the best is yet to come? That your best season is the one you give your best to, right here, right now. Solomon, after reflecting on all his wealth, all his achievements, and the fleeting nature of life, he says something in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that I find very interesting. He says in verse 18, he says, "Even so, I have noticed one thing at least, that it is good. That it is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life." To say, man, this is the lot you've been given. Man, I'm going to accept that, and guess what? I'm going to enjoy it. Even if it's an ugly lot, it's the lot God gave me, so I'm going to do my best with what God has given me. And then he says in verse 19, and it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. There's nothing worse to have wealth from God but not good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. And then this has become one of my favorite verses. Says, God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. It's my prayer for each and every one of us this weekend, is that we would be those people that look at the lot that we have been given in our life, the ugly side of it, the beautiful side of it, and say, Lord, if it's the lot you gave me, if it's the assignment you gave me, I'm going to do my best to enjoy it. And in fact, I want to be so busy enjoying the lot you've given me that I don't have time to brood over the past. No, the glory days aren't behind us. No, the glory days are what's right in front of us. And my prayer for us is that as we navigate the ups and downs and the different seasons that we sometimes have to endure, sometimes we have to navigate some tough stuff. My prayer is that you would find a lot of joy in the season that God has given you. I think this all comes down to a perspective. You know, I like to say that our level of enjoyment is determined by our level of gratefulness. And what that means is, sometimes the things that bother us the most are actually a privilege, and we don't even know it. You know, if you get in a fight with your spouse, you can just be so upset, and there could just be this, like, anger on the inside of you, and I can't believe you, and why would you say this, and you've done this for 20 years, and there could just be this back and forth. And maybe you got in a fight on the way here to church. Perfect. Listen, here's what I would say. You should be grateful that you got a fight to spouse. You got a spouse to fight with at all. I know a lot of people who would give everything they got to get in one more fight. And when you're grateful for the fight, isn't it interesting? It's no longer about winning and losing. You see them differently. You're able to go, I get to fight with you. And who knows if on the way home you go, I love you so much, I can't wait to fight with you again later. They're going to be like, what? What's going on? What's happening? What's happening is you decided to say, this is the spouse God gave me. And so I'm going to do the best with the spouse that God gave. Oh, and God, for some odd reason, gave me to them. Lucky them, right? But on some level, it's like, I'm the lot that they've been given. And so what would it look like for us to just go, you know what? We're going to enjoy the season that God has given us, because tomorrow's not promised for any of us. So I encourage you to give your best to the season that God has given you. Here's Solomon, a man who's had everything. He's saying, hey, you want to know what actually matters the most? It's not stock options. It's not how many followers you have. It's not whether you win every argument. It's about this enjoying the season that you're in. And so today I'm going to invite you to choose joy. Not because it's easy, but because it's a better choice. And I realize that that could be very difficult for a lot of us, but I think it's the best decision that you can make. Say, Lord, I don't know that anybody's life here is ever going to be ideal, but I do think that every person under the sound of my voice, that their life can indeed have some beautiful in it, especially when we allow God to show it to us. Solomon is saying the moment that you and I have right now in this season is an absolute gift from God, and I think we should treat it as such. Here's the dinner table small group question. The third and final one, and I think this would be an interesting answer, and it's, what's one thing you can do this week to enjoy the season that you're in? What's one thing, you go around the circle, go around the table. Hey, what's one thing this week that you can do to enjoy the season that you're in? I get that it's not ideal. That's okay. But what's one thing this week that you can do to enjoy the season that you're in? And what would it look like for us to help each other enjoy the season a little bit more? That's how I believe that you and I should handle the ugly, beautiful seasons that we experience. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the season that this church is in, the season that we're all in individually. Lord, I pray that you give us the wisdom to navigate the seasons that we're in, to measure them, not to just count them, but to indeed make them count. Help us to navigate our friends and family seasons as they're trying to figure things out and help our relationships get stronger. And God, I pray that you would give us the joy to maximize the season that we're in right now, whether it's ugly or beautiful or a little bit of both. I pray, God, that we would inevitably invite you to the season. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.